You got no words for us.
I'll have words later. I don't need any words right now. I don't want to
Yeah, we could.
spoil.
You could have said hello.
We live in the shadows and we had the chance to throw it away. And it's never gonna be the same. Cause the years are falling by like the rain. It's never gonna be the same. So the life I knew comes to my eyes and says hello.
Y'all knew I would have said hello.
I know,
It's
I know.
been one of those nights, has it, Jason?
I was just happy. I was the closest on our score prediction. I had 30 to
I
20. It
I
was
had
30 to
tw
22.
I had 28-21.
Yeah, no. 30 to
I
22.
didn't make a score prediction this week, but it wouldn't have been right anyway.
I was only off by 2 points. You were off by
Was
three
by
points. So
three.
technically, I am the winner.
Small victories,
Well,
eh?
it's in is it isn't it the closest without going over?
Yeah, I didn't go over. Keep trying.
It is crazy how close we both were, though.
Keep trying.
What's up, Who Dat Nation, and welcome to the Dome Patrol Podcast 2-Point Conversion Instant Reaction Show. The Dome Patrol Podcast is the official Saints podcast of the Fans First Sports Network. So the Saints show everybody who they really are by getting blown out by the Rams on national TV early before making it a one-score game in the fourth quarter. It really wasn't a one-score game. This really shows that the two-game win streak that we had was all down to the opponents we were playing rather than the Saints actually being any good. Tonight saw baffling coaching decisions, the defense forgetting how to tackle, and Derek Carr being Derek Carr. Just a really bad performance when we really needed a good performance to even have a chance today. I'm James and I'm your host, and joining me to discuss today's game are Jason and Wesley. How are you doing?
Great.
I'm doing fine, but how are you doing? It's 4 a.m. your time. How are you doing over there? I can't believe you stayed up to watch this nonsense, but
I've
you're
got to do this,
dedicated.
haven't I? So,
Yeah, you're. The good thing
you
is you
know.
don't have to work tomorrow. I got to work tomorrow.
No,
I gotta work
no
tomorrow.
work. No, well, no work for me tomorrow, but me and the wife are going to do our final Christmas shopping really early tomorrow morning. And when I say really early, I mean in about 4 hours.
Holy shit. Well, the good thing is she'll just drag you around and just be like a zombie, just like, yeah, whatever, whatever.
Here's my card. Here's my card.
Yeah.
Anyway.
It's
It's
kind
kind
of
of like how I do my regular shopping.
I mean, and just, I mean, I'm sure one of y'all is about to point it out, but I just want to say that, like, it's not in my nature to say I told you so.
Well, but here's the thing. It's like we all knew this was gonna happen. We all, except for James, who never predicts us to lose, we all knew that this was likely gonna happen. And it's
I don't.
interesting because you watch the reactions, whether it was in the Discord chat or whether it was on Twitter. It's like because it's the Rams. Because like we hate the Rams. I hate the
Fuck the
Rams.
Rams.
I always want to beat the Rams. I always go back to my friend Mike at Fuck the Falcons. There was a game back when Kurt Warner was with the Rams. We went to a game. We beat him. We walked out of the dome, and he's sitting there standing to. We were talking to whoever, like random Saints fans, and all of a sudden this Rams fan was walking by, and he just like, hold on 1 second. Fuck the Rams. Like he literally just turns around, yells at this guy, fuck the Rams, and just turns right back around and continues his conversation with us. And I'll always remember that. So yeah, the Rams are just hated. Even though we knew we were going to lose, I always want to beat the fucking Rams. I hate the Rams. The Rams are in the top five of hated teams. I always want to beat the Rams. But we all knew this was coming. I mean, I'm not going to say I told you so because I predicted a 30 to 20 Rams win and I was only off by 2 points. I knew it was coming.
I'm just kidding. I'm talking about the way that it happened. I mean, this was like, and James pointed out, this was not a one score game. This
No.
was, I mean, there was a very good team on the field tonight, and there was a team that looked like they were completely lost that had basically, I mean, Chris Olave had a good game, but outside of two big or I guess three big plays. This is not a close game at all. This is a just like I mean, the previous 2 weeks, I mean, I wasn't feeling real good about the final scores of the two games against the Giants and the Panthers. I mean, those were awful.
Did Jimmy Graham
awful
have
teams.
Any snaps tonight?
He didn't have any targets.
Two snaps, no targets.
And how many plays did Taysom – was Taysom actually in there?
Again.
Not many, right?
No, I think at one point we had, like, thrown the ball 40 times and ran the ball 17 times, something like that, which is just bonkers.
Well,
and I get it, you get down in the score, but, like, we had already – we started off with it very –
Well, I did – I mean, I remember, you know, talking with Tom on the game preview, he mentioned, like, if there's one place to attack, it was their secondary. So,
yeah.
In a sense, I can understand it, but also it's like there. It seemed like there wasn't a lot of motion on offense today, and just like trying to go up with a crazy, a weird, somewhat different game plan, because we knew we were going to have to score points because the Rams were a legit offense, and we didn't do it. Taysom didn't get a lot of play. We didn't have a lot of
motion. Two carries, 2 yards, one first down.
Jimmy Graham. It was just a bad. It was one of those boring, typical Saints game plans. We didn't do much, and especially on a short week, knowing it was a better team than us, you had to find a way to out scheme them out. Like, you had to come out here and do more than what a normal, like, we had to do more than just to try to beat the Giants.
Yeah, and 14 touches for Alvin Kamara was not going to get it done. I mean, that's just disgusting. With a team like this, that actually Alvin's always had good games against the Rams. And I think this makes Derek Carr 0-for-4 in his career against the Rams.
It does.
At least he only threw one pick.
Only one interception.
Yeah. Three touchdowns.
Yeah.
No, but he hasn't thrown a touchdown against them before today.
No, again. Yeah.
No,
So now he's got 3 touchdowns and 10 interceptions against them or something.
Something like that, yeah.
Again, you know, it's kind of like the king of empty snaps. I mean, to me, like, the biggest 100%. Play of the game was at halftime, we have the touchdown to Shaheed. All right, we get it to 10-7. And then we stop him, and we get the ball back, and we're moving the ball, and there's some actual momentum. Like, holy shit, we might be able to kind of stay in this game. And on the third down play, all you need is a 7-yard pass, and he fucking hums a complete fucking fastball at him.
At his head.
And I was arguing with people on Twitter, and like, oh, well, a lot, it was in his hands. A lot, he should have called it. Like, no, Derek Carr should not have thrown it 99 miles an hour.
It was behind him and a missile. Like, if you're going to throw the missile, at least, like, lead him into it.
Don't throw the missile. Throw a catchable ball.
Well, and then fourth and seven, we throw a 3-yard pass, which is makes no sense. Why is anybody – and again, it wasn't because he didn't throw a 3-yard pass because he only had 2 seconds to get rid of the ball. Why is anybody, when you're running your full route, why is anybody running a 3-yard route on 4th and 7? Like, I get it on 3rd and 7, but it's 4th and 7. There is no 5th and 4. You gain 3 yards.
This has happened so much, and we continue to be surprised and shocked, and yet it happens every single – like, we can't be surprised anymore.
And I don't want to, as a Saints fan, be, like, hypocritical when Dennis Allen, like, doesn't go for it or punts when he should do a field goal or doesn't go for it fourth. I don't want to be hypocritical, but there's two parts to it. One, when he does do it, it's typically stupid. Like, even the onside kick at the end made no sense. Wrong time to onside kick.
Too early.
We weren't quite there yet.
It was terrible.
So he makes the wrong decisions of when to do it, but also they make the wrong calls because they're not successful when they do it. It's seriously, every time they decide to go for it on fourth, they don't get it. Every time they decide to kick a long field goal, they don't kick the long field goal. And tonight, Headley did have one punt that was downed at the 5-yard line, which is great. But normally, when they decide to punt from the 40, he kicks it 18 yards or kicks it out of the end zone. So it's just like it just never works. So
it's almost like he just did this to go, well, the Saints fans are going to call me pussy for not doing it, so I'm going to do it. But you make the wrong, like, yeah, it's a good decision in theory, but you make the wrong choices when you make that decision. Like, God. We shouldn't be surprised. He's a loser.
Yeah. So what seems to happen is, and it's happened a lot this season, is we get ourselves into a position where we've got the momentum or we've got a chance to hit the tie-in score or go ahead, and everybody seems to panic. Everything starts going too quickly. the coaches are making stupid play calls, or Derek Carr is throwing the wrong pass, or the Chris Olave. But it just seems to me that there seems to be a panic that sets in. So there's nobody there in the team that's kind of calming everyone down. So everybody's thinking clearly. And did you see where I'm going with this? Everybody seems scrambled, and there's no, it's chaos. I suppose
we're not prepared. Enough, you know, we're not prepared enough for this situation.
Again, with all the insanity that went on in this game, and again, I hate talking about the score being close because the Saints just got dominated most of this game. But yeah. So the interception was at the Rams, like where it was caught was at the Rams 38-yard line. So that's getting into field goal range, right? The Rams took that ball and went and kicked a field goal. So with this, if you add 3 points to the Saints and take three from the Rams, that's a 27-25 game, which, again, is just played completely different in the last quarter. Now, again, the game should have never been that close, and I feel like at any point of the Rams would have just – I mean, I feel like they've definitely slowed down towards the end.
Yeah.
But, I mean – And Jason, I get what you're saying about hating the Rams, but I'm going to say, I'm jealous of the Rams having Matt Stafford as a quarterback. Like, just watching him move around, that is a professional quarterback.
Look, they have a
super talented.
Yeah, we had that for 15 years, and now we don't, and it sucks.
And we talked about that this was going to be the first time in a while that we had this is the best quarterback we faced this year, by far, I think.
Yeah.
Best receiver group that we've played this year. And our defense looked awful. Yep. And during this game, Adebo did not look good. Isaac Yiadom looked bad. And Alante Taylor got benched for Udo Amagi.
Yep.
Or Ugo Amadi. I mean, all the secondary looked really bad. This was awful against these two tight ends and Denard Robinson, who was a free agent in November.
We could have signed him
without a game, without a team. has four or five touchdowns since playing in the last 6 weeks. Pretty ridiculous.
Yeah, and you know, we talked about it's like the road team on a short week is always at a disadvantage, and it definitely showed more tonight. I mean, it's like, do we have any sacks tonight?
One. Carl Granderson.
Oh, the Granderson one. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You're right. We did.
Yeah, actually, we decided to blitz on that play. Alante Taylor nearly got him, didn't he?
Yeah, I mean, it was always going to be an uphill battle. And yeah, like, we made it close to the end. But I mean, again, like, we kind of never felt like once the, you know, we were in it. Like, I'm telling, at the end of the first half, I'm like, holy shit, we're in it. Even if you just kick a field goal, it's 10-10 at halftime. It's like, okay, we can do this. And then it totally flipped the other way because of stupid decisions by both our coach and a bad throw by our quarterback. And after that, it's like, oh yeah, it's over.
That was the fourth, going for it on fourth down, that really annoyed me, was that one. Just punt, put them back.
Yeah, there
and take a 10-7 deficit at halftime.
Yeah.
Made no sense.
It makes no sense, but at this point, what we've seen this year, it makes perfect sense. These guys are These guys are idiots. Oh man, and I shouldn't even be this worked up about this game. Like, I knew we were gonna lose. Like, I didn't expect to win the game. It's not like I expected to win the game, and I'm so frustrated because, oh god, we should have had it. We had it, and we lost. It's just more because I hate the Rams. But I mean, we all knew. Like, none of us really expected us to win this game, right? That kind of goes back to it. I talked about it last week. I was like, yeah, it's like, God, I want downtown fired. I want whatever. But man, when the Saints win, it's fun, and I want to win. Like, I want to win. Man.
I usually try to find a positive from a game.
A.T. Well, Perry?
There's got to be.
That was a great
be.
Catch.
This has to, no matter what happens the last two games, this has to seal some coaching staff firings.
You would think.
Got to.
I don't know. Do you trust these guys to make the – like? Let's say we win the next two games and win the division. I don't know. Look,
I just can't see it. I can see us somehow winning the next two games. I still don't know what the Bucks are. I think they're better than us. But if the Bucks get beat by the Jaguars, I think the Bucks are going to be down and out. And you never know. if the Bucks beat the Jaguars, I think the Bucks come in and just smash us. I think they'll be pumped and go for it.
Probably. But I don't look at this front office and think I don't trust them to make the right decision.
No, I agree. I think this takes the decision out of their hands. I think this just is so bad and ugly.
For a normal person, for this shitty organization that was lucky enough to find a Hall of Fame quarterback and a great coach for 15 years in between 25 years of not being good. Like, I don't know. I just, until they actually can prove to me, yes, they're going to make the decision, I don't have faith in them to make the right decision. I can honestly see them just bringing him back and just say, you got to fire Pete, but you can come back, Dennis.
Well, you were advocating that this week.
I mean, look, I'm trying to think outside the box, but I also know that, like, we're fucked next year either way. Like, we can't get out of this roster next year anyway. We just can't.
But we can start next year of taking steps in the right direction versus putting off every move. But we can't come all the way back next year doesn't mean we shouldn't start setting ourselves up for it.
I am with you, but it's only baby steps. So if you draft, I mean, we have a
first round
pick,
and
we don't have another pick until the fifth round.
Yeah. I think it's going to have to be baby steps, because the way it looks, there's nothing we can do that's a quick instant fix that's going to turn it around.
There's nothing.
There's going to be, like, no matter what, we're going to have to sign free agents. We're going to have to sign cheaper free agents and mid-tier free agents. And we're going to need people to come here going, okay, this team's still trying. Not, oh, I'm just coming here because this is the number one contract I'm getting, because I'm coming here to lose and maybe not ever sign a contract again.
Yeah.
We need to show that we, as an organization, still care about winning.
I mean, I think they're always going to care about winning, but we're a lot of these guys are going to come back because we don't have a choice. They're going to have to come back, but they're, you know, like DeMario Davis, 1 year older, he comes back. Like, he knows he's not going to win a championship. Is it worth it to try and trade these guys to be like, hey, we know you can't win here. If you really want to win, we'll send you somewhere. Even if it only gets a third or fourth round.
If the coach that is the best coach for that eventual rebuild is available now, like, let's get him in the house and start having him be a part of the rebuild.
But what if he's not? I mean, we're going to be low on the totem pole.
But we already know Dennis Allen's not the guy.
Well, 100% he's not the guy. But if you get the fifth or sixth choice in this cycle, is it worth it? Or do you try to get the first or second choice in next year's cycle?
I think so, because apparently last year we had no choices for offensive coordinators that would even come interview for us. So, I think that it's... I mean, I'll just right now. I am back on. Let's hire Eric Bieniemy. Let's give him his first head coaching job. Like 100%. Like I'm. Hey, that guy's inventive. He's made Sam Howell a decent quarterback.
I don't know. Have you seen Sam Howell the last six weeks?
I just said decent. I didn't say top 10.
But he's honestly, like, he got benched. He's been bad. Now, granted, that Washington's a dumpster.
But I'm saying, they have about the kind of roster that we'll have.
Yes.
But do you think we'd even hire him? And we had him. We gave him an eight-hour interview 2 years ago, and we're just like, no, let's just go with Dennis Allen. It's a good choice.
Keep doing what you're doing.
Keep chopping that wood.
Yeah, I don't know. I know. I'm sorry. This is the instant reaction.
Yeah, we kind of got off of the game.
At
this point, we're just the game is. What are we talking about?
In terms of reacting to the game, it was. We were rubbish. It was disgusting performance. Couldn't tackle.
Last week against the Giants were just bad, and like we actually had our most complete game. This game and the Panthers game combined, I hate the final scores because the final scores do not tell the story of those games. In the one game, that game was way closer than that score against the Panthers, and this game was way more dominant by the Rams than what this final score shows.
Some of that, look, I agree we played like shit, but some of this is the short week going on the road. Like, it's almost like you don't want to throw out the Thursday games, but it's so skewed because of the short week and the fact that it's not like we got a bunch of young dudes who can recover quicker. Like, we had a lot of old dudes who need the time to recover. So, like, if this game was on Sunday, I think we still would have lost, but it wouldn't have felt as bad. It's just the whole Thursday, again, I hate Thursday games. I think they need to get rid of Thursday games. It just skews everything to the home team. It's just, so it you can't really judge it. Now, look, they still, again, I did not expect us to win today. I thought they would win, and they did. But the whole short week thing, it's such a disadvantage to the road team.
Yeah, it is. So Derek Carr actually had better stats. Well, no, he didn't. No, not quite, actually. Matt Stafford was 24 of 34 for 328 and two touchdowns. Derek Carr was 27 of 40 for 319 yards, three touchdowns and an interception. So another pretty meaningless 300-yard game from Derek Carr.
Yeah, he's got over 100 QBR, too, which is just stupid. I will say, Jason, so this isn't the Thursday night game's fault. But one thing about a Thursday night game, and you're talking about, you know, shorter recovery and all that, which the Rams did play a game 3 hours after hours the other day. But the Rams are the second youngest roster in football, and we are the oldest roster in football. You'll say that's there's a 2.1-year difference between them. That's a massive. That doesn't sound like a lot. The difference between 25 and 27. That's a huge difference. And so, but. That's not Thursday night. That's not the NFL's fault. That's our roster construction's fault of doing that. Yeah. So
and it's mainly on defense where we're old as well.
And you should know when building a roster that this is part of it is the attrition and the coming back, and that everybody knows you could have two Thursday night games this year. So it's an international travel and all those things. So us purposely having the oldest roster in football is bad management as well.
Look, that was the biggest thing that I took away from our conversation with Tom the other night is that they had cap issues, and they're like, you know what, we're going to address it head on. We're just going to be fuck it. We're going to trade, and look, they traded away a lot of first round picks.
But their other picks, they've done really good with.
Yes,
second through fifth round, they have been crushing
right.
it.
Well, like he said, like this year they had 14 draft picks. They all made the roster, but he was, like all the players that we talked about, Puka Nacua and Kyron Williams, fifth round picks, like guys that didn't take a huge investment in, but they addressed like, hey, look,
and some offensive line and offensive linemen and all that. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
They said, look, we're going to do this. It may not work this year. They expect it to be bad, but man, when you, and in the draft, it's more about giving yourself the most chances because the draft is so hard. So, a lot of picks are going to miss.
So their two fifth round picks that you mentioned both had over 100 yards today.
Yeah, like the key is give yourself the most swings at it to give yourself chances.
You have an elite quarterback and you hit on those, it all comes together. That was again the Saints. We believed that for a long time.
We thought we had Drew Brees
and a bunch of bums for a long time, and we had the worst defense in the history of football. But we had Drew Brees, so it was like we had no real, big wide receivers, or didn't have a number two wide receiver on the entire roster for years. And it was like, but just get us in there and let's see what happens. And I mean,
for their philosophy. Yeah. They finally embraced the philosophy of, hey, let's actually bring in a bunch of picks. And that's the one thing the Saints have always done was fuck them picks
and undrafted free agents.
Right. Like trade up to grab a certain guy. You can't do that. And of course, when we did it for Marcus Davenport, completely failed. When you do that and it doesn't, like, our 17 draft was awesome. But since that draft, we've been pretty pedestrian, and we keep trading up and minimizing our chances. The thing is, you have to maximize your picks.
Every draft pick,
take as many chances as you can.
Every draft pick you throw away is a minimum salary player that might hit.
Yes.
Yep.
And versus a minimum salary veteran who you already know is never going to hit. His best bet is still being a third stringer.
Yep.
And so like it's the guys that have been in the league for 5 years that are minimum salary, it's because they're never going to be good. The guys that are rookies that are minimum salary, it's because we don't know what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. I'd much rather have a bunch of those guys than trading away picks and then having to bring in the other guys.
And that's where we're at. I mean, it's the whole philosophy of the philosophy has to change going forward. This with Brees, you could say yes, it was a decent strategy. Without him, you can't keep doing that. It doesn't work.
Well, we seriously, he's not with us anymore. I can't remember his name, but the last 2 years we've had the offensive lineman that was with the Chargers that like was rated as
Will
like
Clapp.
No, the one
that came from them.
Storm
to us.
Norton. No.
And, yeah,
not
Storm.
Yeah.
Storm Norton. Yeah.
Storm
and he
Norton,
was rated
yeah.
as like the worst offensive lineman in the history of the game of football. And the one place he could get a contract was with the New Orleans Saints. Because, I mean, it was like, well, you know, he sucks, but he's got 5 years of experience with sucking. And I'm like, I think we figured out what he is. I mean.
And he sucked.
And he sucked.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd much rather stop trading these picks away and let's take shots on these guys.
We've got five. Is it five picks at the moment? Or we might have a couple of compensating.
Only five.
Yeah.
I think we'll get a comp or
two. And then like 2/5 and 2/6 and a 7.
But.
Yeah, we'll get
we'd comps. Better pick every single one of those picks and not move them.
Unless you trade down to get more.
Yeah. Again,
Like I said, I think we should trade down. But whatever. I'm not. Mickey's going to do something stupid.
As long as we don't. The first round pick.
That's the problem.
It was pretty great that either late third, early fourth quarter, Nick Underhill tweets out the draft mock simulator. He's like firing it up already. I was like, that's good. I'm ready. Yeah,
it'll be yours and my time soon, Wes.
Oh yeah, anytime now. Yeah, we're
and look again. Like I'm not as a lot of people were angry about the way the game unfolded. I knew we were gonna lose. It's a little frustrating just to lose to the Rams, but I knew this was coming. So I'm like, whatever. Well, it's frustrating,
but there's a couple of opportunities where we could have made a bit of a run.
I mean, ignore
the fact it finished 30-22. Like just before halftime, that could have been we could have been 14-10 up.
If you think about it, that is a 10-point swing right there. That really would have won us the game. Remember, James, the thing you posted, if the one score games were flipped, what we'd be?
9-5, yeah.
Now 10-5.
10-5.
Now 10-5.
Yeah. All if you make the right decisions. It's again it goes back on this shitty head coach.
Yeah. Has anybody else got anything else they want to say about the game today?
I just like we're not a good team, and like I believe I said this the other day, but I get it that we have a middle of the NFL record still at 7-8, but with the easiest schedule in the history of the league, like that means we are not a good team, and I think that we're old. I think that we've got bad quarterback play. I think that we've got insufficient offensive and defensive linemen. And I think we have bad, bad coaching all over the field. I don't think there's one thing to point at it. Or
it's
point
so
at
funny because I wish we could juxtapose that between what you were saying in August.
Hey,
that's what the end of season review show is going to be.
I know, because you were like, no, this roster is elite and we have a shit schedule. You said elite a lot.
That's why I'm not flip-flopping now, and I didn't flip-flop from the beating the Panthers and beating the Giants with those massive scores. I haven't flip-flopped there. I was wrong. I've said that multiple times. I'm good with it, but I'm not going to flip-flop between let's just get in the playoffs and you never know, it might throw six bombs in a game, just got to get out there and get a chance. I'm not into it. I don't want it. I want the coaching staff fired, and I'm not going to pull and push for the Saints to lose, but I'm also not going to come on here and like ask for wins and beg for them and hope we have ugly wins and just sneak in.
I would still be okay with us making the playoffs. I think it'd be fun because this is the last chance we're going to make the playoffs for a long time.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't think it's going to happen, but I'm still pulling for it.
I don't think it's going to happen after tonight. No.
You know what? I mean, one thing I will say is that we'll change is. Probably is that I'll be this negative right now and saying that we need to start this rebuild that's going to take a couple of years, but there can always be an off season that has me positive about what we can do to start next year.
That'll be in 2 years. It ain't going to be next year.
No, I'm not saying I'll be right. I'm just saying I can be positive again in August.
Well, I mean, James is still going to pick us to win every game. So.
Oh, I am. Yeah. 100%.
It's going to be funny when next year when the Saints win four games, but you're going to pick the Saints to win every game.
James, if the Broncos, the Bucks blow out the Jaguars this week, you know, just 49-7, you're going to be like,
Saints are still winning the game. I'm going to
skip the preview episode, guys. I can't make it.
He's only going to pick us to win by one. That's what he's going to do.
And it's 1-0.
You'll know when I'm really not feeling it when I predict a tie.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I mean, again, it's I guess if you didn't watch the game and you just like if you're a Saints fan that missed the game and you just couldn't watch it on a Thursday night or don't have Amazon Prime, and
lucky you,
you looked at the final score and you're like, oh, Derek Carr threw for 319 and we only lost by one possession. Yeah. That's crazy. One score game. I bet it was close. And then you turn on the show and we're like, we suck. And they're like, what
happened? Oh, no, we suck again. What? That's really
it. I thought I was going to hear this positivity about how we almost beat a playoff team.
You're only going to hear the positivity from the local media here. Somehow Sean Fazan will still be positive.
Well, speaking of that, the national media and Herb Street and Michaels, I don't think they've watched a single Saints game this year because they're like, Derek Carr's dealt with a lot of injuries, but his teammates are really appreciated how he's been fighting through. I'm like, nope, everybody just wants him to stop playing quarterback.
The only game they watched was the game that they called against Jacksonville. Yeah. That's right. It.
Yep. The one where Jimmy Graham was not active, so Foster Moreau dropped a touchdown that would have tied the game.
Jimmy Graham was basically inactive.
Hey, at least Foster Moreau caught a ball today. He also dropped one, but he did catch one.
No passes for Jimmy Graham. Hey, one possession game. Imagine if we had thrown to Jimmy Graham a couple of times.
Especially on fourth down.
Or just put him in the game. Or run a bunch of RPOs with Taysom. Try something. I hate our coaches.
I will say Olave had a nice game. The fact that he's doing this with A.T. Perry and Keith Kirkwood as the other wide receivers. I mean, this isn't Michael Thomas. Like we thought he was going to do good because of Michael Thomas being on the field. The fact that he's playing this way is good. He's got a little bit of drop stuff that he needs to get better at, but he's still a young receiver. Awesome.
I am aggravated that people that are blaming that drop at the end of the
game. Other one that actually went straight through his hand.
He definitely did. It's weird. Like he catches the hard ones, drops the easy ones.
He worked on those all offseason, the hard ones.
That one drop at the end of the half, that was all on Carr because he threw it too fucking hard because he's a dick.
Yeah. Any final thoughts?
James, go to bed.
We'll get into Survivor next week, but the new What If series starts tomorrow. An episode every day starts tomorrow.
It's probably on Disney Plus now, actually. I might...
For you? Yeah.
It might be there for me. I don't know.
I actually watched today when I got to work this morning, I put on the last two episodes from last year just to kind of get caught up with the whole Ultron thing. And yeah, it's fun. It's different. It doesn't really count, but it's fun. It's new, fun content. The fact that they can have fun with stuff. So I'm excited. And then the trailer for Echo that comes out in January looks really bloody and violent, like the old Daredevil on Netflix. And I've heard that Marvel is going to do, there's some Daredevil arc that they're going to do basically with Echo and Daredevil and Spider-Man 4. It's going to be street level.
No, okay.
There's some good arc from the comics that's like, so the next Spider-Man movie is going to be strictly street level with Daredevil and Kingpin, and I think that's what they need to do. I think it's going to be great. So
speaking of premieres, is it too soon to talk about the death of the Premier League and the European Super League taking over soccer? Is it too soon? Or do we need more details before we can really speak about it?
All of the Premier League clubs have come out today and said that they will not be joining the European Super League.
Well, none of them have ever lied to anybody before.
Yeah,
so,
I think after the reaction to it when it was announced, 3 years ago, it's not happening.
You guys remember when all those golfers said they'd never join LIV?
Fuck LIV. God, it's so...
This is LIV all over again.
It's not fun. They're killing professional golf. Fuck LIV. Fuck Greg Norman. God, right. I'm so angry.
What about Phil Mickelson?
Thanks.
Yeah, fuck him too. He's a fucking dick. You know what? He's a fucking... Yeah, you know what? Tiger Woods was better than you, Phil. Sorry.
Zion Williamson?
Hey, didn't play today. The Pels won.
Yeah. I'm excited for this dude.
Fuck Zion too.
No, fuck. I ain't saying that. Fuck Anthony Davis. Motherfucker still never say goodbye to us.
Fuck pizza
him.
Buffets.
No, right. Those are good too.
Right, stop talking. That's all the show we have for you this week, so thank you for listening. You can listen to the Dome Patrol podcast wherever you get your podcast from. You can follow us on Twitter at Dome Patrol PCast, at Dome Patrol UK. And if you want to join the Game Day Discord chat, hit us up for an invite. Although that did turn into a bit of a roller coaster loving during the game today, so that should tell you everything you need to
know.
It
was awesome. It was fun.
One final thing for me before I say the final line is Merry Christmas to all of our listeners, because this will be our last show before Christmas. Hope you all have an amazing Christmas. Say bye-bye, donkeys.
Bye bye. Winning record, Saints Donkeys.
Fuck Sandusky, Ohio.
I mean, the town's fine. The park's great.
Well, I guess that's about the end of my Christmas album. Gosh, it was sure nice hanging out with y'all again. And I guess if there's just one thing I have left to say, it would be this. Have yourself a merry little Christmas. May your heart be
Dome Patrol Podcast is the official Saints podcast of the Fans First Sports Network.